speaker. Guys, we are down to one person left tonight. It has been so fun. I'm really happy to introduce this next speaker. She also helped us book this evening, so a lot of the people that you saw on stage were because of her, which is super great. She has a daily horror movie podcast every October called Scare Blast. A lot of the people have been on that show. She also is a part of the Probe show with our Nerdalog's own Mary Beth Smith, which is this like wonderful... Oh, that's that. This wonderful kind of like... Yeah, a little spooky. Anyway, it's kind of like this serialized take on like a high school election. It's very funny, very well produced. This is Lisa Burton.
Woo! Yeah! Hi, everyone. So what I'm about to tell you is a little nerve-wracking for me to get out because I've recently come to understand that what I once thought as a coincidental grouping of events may actually be something more than that. And I am going to share my story with you. So as you can see in this first slide, this is a true-to-life stereotypical haunting experience, you know, like the type you experience in the movies, except it's my real life. Let's see if I can click this to the next one. So every good haunting starts with moving into a new house. Every great ghost story starts that way. I moved into this home on Foster Avenue in just 2 years ago. So I've been there for a little while now. In a true-to-life ghost story, you don't hear all of the background music and you don't get all of the... time lapse that happens with everything. So I'm going to kind of try and truncate the last couple of years into this one story. To get to know me a little bit, my name is Lisa Burton. I am a biology major. Again, I believe that seeing is believing. I also love ghost stories and I love haunting stories. Tonight has been a dream. I also love history and, I've also been divorced in the last 3 years, and so I've been going through a divorce. It's been kind of tough, but getting through it. And I've also been sick for about 2 months now. I've been back and forth to the doctor, and they haven't quite figured out what it is. It feels like a prolonged cold, but I've been coughing a lot, and as you can hear through the program tonight, I'm really sorry for the listener. You've heard me coughing through a couple of the stories, or at least subdued coughing. So this is my house. So to give you an idea of where I live, this is a map from 1889 of my neighborhood. I live in the Andersonville neighborhood. That little dot in the middle, the little red dot, is my house. And then, please don't stalk me. Then the little cemetery up north, that's Rose Hill Cemetery. Down south, there's Bonifacius Cemetery. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Kill me if I'm not. And then down south here, Graceland Cemetery. So I'm surrounded by cemeteries. Also, this area and Chicago as a whole used to be inhabited hundreds of years ago by Native American cultures, of course. The research that I've done, the two Native American cultures most prominent in this area were the Miami tribe and the Iroquois. And they each deal with death a little bit differently. The Miami tribe, when a family member or someone dies, they would build large scaffolding and hang the bodies in the scaffolding, or they would take the body and hang it in a tree. That was so that that person's spirit could find the path to heaven a little more easily, or the path to the greener pasture on the other side. That path would be wrought with temptations. And if they were to stray from the path, they would be stuck in limbo for all eternity. And limbo, in many cultures, is also known as like earth. And so their spirit would wander the earth for all of eternity. The Iroquois took the afterlife a little bit differently. So in their culture, when their dead would die, they would wait to have more than one dead so that they would bury them together in a group, so that those people weren't completely alone in the afterlife. As recent as 2013, Rose Hill Cemetery, they were doing some excavating for a nature preserve, and they found not only burial mounds, but also artifacts in those burial mounds. And the Iroquois were also known to bury artifacts with their dead to help facilitate that transition. So this is the photo of a dead bird that I took. And over the course of the last 2 years, I've encountered a number of dead birds. What this means, I don't know. But this is actually a bird that I sent to Brad Einstein when he was taking pictures of dead birds a couple years ago. And most recently, last weekend, I was house sitting for a family, and there was a sparrow that kept hitting the back window. And I went to the back window, and the sparrow would not stop hitting the back window. It was nearly conked out. And so went out back, took the sparrow out of the yard. Also, 2 days ago, I was babysitting for a family, and we came across a dead hummingbird. I've come across a number of these dead birds over the course of the last year. This is a spider. This spider was outside my house. Now, my home, a couple of years back, I guess, my roommate divulged this information to me that she had to spray because in the basement they had an infestation of black widow spiders, which are not typically a Chicago spider, but they were infested. And so every few months we get the house sprayed. The Orkin man comes, Steve, I know him by name. This is not a black widow spider. However, this spider struck me as odd. He was like hanging out in the doorway. I moved him aside from the door, and the next day, here's my front door looking out the door. If you can see that little speck right above the doormat, he had built himself a web all the way across the door. So he was like, no, fuck no, you are not getting out of this house today. I don't care for spiders. I don't not like them. They're just not my favorite. So, and across the way, you can also see Ebenezer Church has a long sordid history in the neighborhood. My home was built in 1925. The church across the street was built in 1908, as was the school on the corner. The whole area was occupied by Swedish residents after the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. This is a close-up of that spider. Jesus, holy Christ. That spider is scary. Okay. This is a photograph of the inside of my room. Please pardon how messy it is. This room I live in every single day. And what I'm about to show you is an event that happens with some frequency to me. So I also have been having bad dreams lately and waking up and not getting a whole lot of sleep. It's probably why this cold is prolonged. But the other afternoon, I began a recurring dream that I've been having lately where I'll walk down a path and there are kids on the sides. And if I don't wake myself up before they grab me, they will grab me off the path and tear me apart and like eat my insides. And when I wake up from that dream, I see this. So I don't know if you can see this, but the next photo I'm going to show you will show you in a little more stark contrast, because sometimes this happens when I come home from a late night when I come home at night. So this one, the window is open and everything, but this is what I come home to. What you're looking at here is my walk-in closet, and I want you to know that I'm a scientist, and I have checked the electricity, and I write down when I turn off the light, and then I write down when I see the light in my closet. And this occurrence happens about 3 to 5 times a week, depending on the day or the night. And I'm going to show you one more little clearer version of that. So this last photo is one that I staged, but the other two are not. Those were instances where that had happened. And now I'd like to open it up a little bit because I honestly don't know what to do. And I'd like to know your opinion or if you have any advice. Thank you. Thanks so much. That's good. No, I'm just kidding. But really, does anyone have any ideas or thoughts? Have I ever felt threatened? That's a good question. Not necessarily, but I have felt a pressure on my chest. I usually decide that it's anxiety or that I am nervous. And it often will happen when that light comes on in my room. I don't generally feel threatened in my room. Any other questions or thoughts?
Have you tried just unscrewing the light bulb?
Have I tried unscrewing? Yeah.
Yeah, just leaving it, a light bulb not in there?
I haven't, only because I enjoy having the light when I need it. But that is an excellent point. One that I could absolutely use. Anything else? Cool. Well, if I don't die within the next 2 weeks, then I'll see you again. And if I do die in the next 2 weeks, I hope that you will take my body and put it up in a tree so that I can see the way to heaven. Thanks so much.
Lisa Burton, everybody. That was real scary. Oh, my gosh. You guys freaked me out tonight. I actually scare really easily, so we'll see how I sleep tonight. Thanks, everybody.